At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day of November 2025. And tonight, my distinguished co-host, he's and very capable, a young producer is Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor. How are you?
I'm all right. You ready to roll tonight?
I'm always ready.
Okay. We're going to start. Is Pastor Hal called in?
He has not.
Okay. If he's out there, he's trying to make up his mind. He's if he can join us or not. But anyhow, title of the message was to be bound and cast into the lake of fire, okay? And we're going to be talking about hell this week, all week long. This is really going to upset the Democrats, I'm going to tell you. But we need to let them know what's in store for them unless they repent. All of those that are living under sin, unrepentant, they will end up in the lake of fire. Horrible, horrible place to be, but and we try telling them over and over and over. And we're going to pick it up where we left off tonight. And it's in the book of Isaiah chapter 5. Now in this, it's an interesting thing because he gives you six woes in this one chapter. Six woes. And we'll go through these woes. The first one you find in Isaiah 5:8. And it says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." Now, Style, listen to this carefully and see if you understand, because there's an organization that's doing exactly what this verse says today. It's known for this worldwide. Ready? "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." What do you think? Do you have a clue?
I'm not sure.
Okay. What he's talking about is buying up as much as all properties, where properties join each other. And you have BlackRock today. BlackRock is buying up real estate, condominiums, housing, as many as possible where people are living, and they're doing this for control. Field to field, who do you think it is that's buying up as much farmland as they can possibly buy?
Well, similar companies to that, BlackRock, Amazon, anyone that can put a warehouse there.
Well, there's an individual that's buying up farmland for the sole purpose of controlling the food. His name is Bill Gates. He's been buying, he owns more farmland than anybody in the whole world. And he's been buying up farmland, as you know, left and right. And then you've got one other, the communist Chinese government. They're buying up properties all around military bases, especially. And so that's what he says. Woe unto them that join house to house, lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Now, here he goes in. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without habitant. In other words, it's a woe unto them because God's going to throw a monkey wrench right into all of their operation. The next woe he gives you is verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. What does that remind you of?
That sounds like a drunk.
Yeah, they rise up, but how about tailgating? What they call the tailgates at the football games, you got guys that just drink. Okay. The next woe is 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity. And this is a good one. Now, there's one group that specifically this would apply to more than any other, okay? Okay. Well, Pastor Hal is with us. Put him up.
Yeah, right here.
Okay. Are you going to be able to hang in here with us at your age?
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm talking about the six woes here in Isaiah chapter 5. Now, verse 18. Now, there's one group more than any other group that this would apply to today. And woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. In other words, he's saying those that are flaunting their sin before Almighty God, like they have it in the cart and they're pulling in front of him, saying, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh, that he may come, and that we may know it. So what group organization has a sin more than any other that they flaunt it in front of God?
LGBTQ perverts.
You've got it. The next would be the abortion industry, huh?
Right.
They talking to the feminists, talking about, bragging about how many babies they've killed, okay? And boy, if that doesn't describe them just perfectly here. Here's the next one. This is the entire Democratic Communist Party platform here. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is there anything in the Democratic Communist Party platform that doesn't do exactly that? Is there any good, anything that's good at all?
No, in fact, that's the definition of the Democratic Party platform, calling good evil and evil good.
Okay. Woe unto them, here's the next one, verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Boy, if that's not the left-wing media and, you know, programs like the View and that, is that not, and then here's the next one. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Joe Biden, Barack Obama, these people, all of those that Chris Ray, Merrick Garland, Hillary Clinton, all of those, what they did to the J6ers and, putting the pro-lifers, putting 80-year-old grandmothers in jail for saving babies. I mean, you know, just wicked to the bone. Now, here, you know,
scoundrels would be an understatement.
Absolutely. But now let me read this next verse here. Verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend unto it. I mean, that's pretty clear cut. There are no stuttering there, is there?
Nope.
Now, do you know what here, again, all what amazes me, and we've seen it today, how these people will try to, well, those that put their, that flaunt their sin in front of God, and they make a mockery. And we talked about it somewhat yesterday. It reminded me, I remember watching this young and dumb college boy on a campus. I think it might have been Berkeley, where he stood up and got up on a platform and he yelled out, "God, if you're really up there, strike me down." And everybody laughed and they thought it was funny. Now, I can tell you this. It only takes the young and dumb to do something that stupid. God's not mocked. God is not mocked, right? And if you think that you can tempt God, when God does something, he picks the time and he picks the place and he picks the punishment. And it always goes the way he says it will. And so these young people, and I've seen some cases of people like that, and we talked about that last night. In the Bible, you've got several cases like that. One, of course, Haman and Mordecai, where where he built the gallows for Mordecai. And then you've got Nebuchadnezzar, who who stood on his balcony, opened his arms, and said, "All of this have I built." And then you had Herod the Magnificent, probably the best example, who accepted worship and found himself being eaten by worms on his birthday. Not a good birthday, I can tell you, right?
All right.
Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verses 13 through 18. Here, Proverbs 9 starting with verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. That word clamorous, the same word we use for boisterous. Who does that bring to mind?
The women on foolish? The pew.
Boy, does that really does. I mean, they are clamorous, boisterous, and vulgar. You know, not very clean women, okay? What about some of those tonight? I was listening to the Democrats. They had these women who were on the internet, and here, these were whores. These liberal whores were becoming even more vulgar, and were trying to invent new derogatory names for President Trump and for conservatives. Now, here's what they were actually trying to do here. By constructing complete sentences, complete sentences by using only profanity. In other words, complete sentences using every word as a swear word, profane word. This is what they were like having a contest to see who could be the most profane, the biggest whore.
And, you know, one of the most unfeminine things a woman could do is have a filthy mouth. It takes away from her beauty, her femininity, her charm, everything. It makes her like a pig, you know, when they use the F word and swear and curse like that. I don't know how anybody could want to be married to somebody like that.
No. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. Now whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, who does that remind you of? What kind of simple people would be brought into and listen to them?
People brought up in the public school system.
What about these politicians that are led by the nose, these males, I won't call them men, by AOC and Pocahontas and these others that are led by this in this fallen line? Those are scared to death. Nasty Pelosi had them afraid, scared to death to speak up and say anything against her. It goes on to say, here's what she says. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Do you think maybe they might say stolen elections are sweet?
Yeah. And it says bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, sins done in secret is pleasant. But the fact is, there is no sins that are done in secret that God doesn't see. And he says what's done in the closet will be proclaimed on the rooftop someday. You can't hide any sins from God. And the end result of these so-called secret sins is death.
Well.
And hell. Yeah.
That's kind of what the next verse says. But he that knoweth not that the dead are there and their guests are in the depths of hell, huh?
Right.
And so, we go on. I want to go now over to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, now this is an interesting one, and it's an esoteric message here. So we have to look at this very carefully as we go and we read, starting with verse 27. So the servants of the householder, well, first of all, the Lord is going to explain here the proverb of the tares, the wheat and the tares, to the apostles here. And so here he's in the process of doing that, and believe it or not, right on my glasses here appears, and I gotta have glasses for reading, even though with my good eye now, since I had that cataract removed, I have a 20/20 vision in that eye. But when you're wearing glasses for reading, and all of a sudden it looks like a fingerprint appeared on it. I don't know how that happened, but it did. But anyhow, I'm back to normal. Now, here's a message. Ready? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up? Now, Style, pay close attention to this too, because he's telling you something here if you listen closely. Now, but he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now, here, the servants he's referring to are his angels. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in that time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them to bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now there's a message in there, and the message is this, that here only God can tell who saved and not. Only God can look upon the heart of people and know for sure, who we know for absolutely sure. This is one of the reasons that, we always continually preach on making your salvation sure. But only God can know for absolutely sure. Not even the angels can know. Okay? In fact, there are those people out there that think they're saved when they're not. Many of them, they can't even tell whether or not. Only God knows for sure those that are saved and not. Now, here...
This also shows the characteristic of the rapture, the post-tribulation rapture, because at the end of the rapture, he's going to send the angels forth to gather the you know, up the tares and then the wheat.
But well, you're jumping ahead.
Rapture, he says, come up hither, and we're out of here like grease slick lightning.
Yep, you're jumping ahead of me. Let's go over to verse 38. And the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world. Now that word, their world, is aegeon, which means age. In this particular, we know that it's a sixth dispensation period, so it's at the end of the church age. And as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, those are the lost sinners who refuse to repent and get saved. So shall it be in the end of this age. So the Son of Man should send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, here, a lot of people don't want to take this. I remember talking to a lady once, and she, a professed believer, she says, I believe in the Bible. I believe that Jesus is a Savior, and I believe that God is simply love. I don't believe there's a devil or a hell. And I said, wait a minute, here. So then you think that the Lord Jesus is a liar? Of course not. I said, well, then he preached more on hell than he did heaven. He did? So where are you basing your beliefs? What are your beliefs built upon? Are they built upon sound bites or things that you've heard other people say? Are you just parroting? Because apparently you didn't get any of that from the Word of God. And there seems to be a lot of people out there. Well, I don't believe that there is a literal hell. Yeah, there is a literal hell, folks. There is a literal hell. It's described over and over again in Scripture. It couldn't be any clearer than that either, okay? And so, and it says, and he shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What do you think that's all about, the wailing and gnashing of teeth, Al?
That's going to show the pain that they're in, and, you know, they're going to be, you know, just in so much pain they ain't going to be able to stand it. They'll be gnashing their teeth and just everything you could think of, just going insane with knowing that there's never going to be any end of it and everything. But they brought it upon themselves.
So now, here, you've heard people say, I've heard people say, I'd rather go to hell, that's where all my friends are. And you've heard them say, I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. First of all, you don't rule in hell, you burn, okay? And you don't have any friends, you have no friends in hell. Nobody going to love you there, they're just not, okay? It's not a good place, and you're not going to be in the company of nice people. People that are in total pain and in torment aren't good company, are they?
No. I got a few verses on hell right here that just jump right out of the Bible. It says that hell is a devouring fire, Isaiah 33:14. It's a place of weeping, Matthew 8:12. It's where the fire is never quenched, Mark 9:48. Hell is where they can never repent, Matthew 12:32. It's a place of everlasting fire, Matthew 25:41. It's where they don't want their loved ones to come, Luke 16:28. It's a bottomless pit, Revelation 21. It's where they scream for mercy, Luke 16:24. It's a place of sorrows, Psalm 18:5. It's a place of outer darkness, Matthew 25:30. And it's a place of torments, Luke 16:23. Now, if somebody can read all those verses and say there's no hell, there's something wrong with them.
Well, that the fact that they don't believe the Bible. I mean, you have those.
Right.
The answer to that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right there, verses 4 and 5. Anyhow, we'll be back after this.
All right, new information this morning out of the January 6th pipe bomber case. I've got a lot to go over. I've got a little bit of time to do it in. This is my 2 cents in 2 minutes. Let's go. All the names and sources online are pointing back to the January 6th pipe bomber being none other than Shawnee Kirkhoff, as seen on screen. And who is Shawnee Kirkhoff? Well, let's talk about that. On January 6th, 2021, Shawnee Kirkhoff was employed by none other than the United States Capitol Police. Not only did she allegedly lay that pipe bomb, but the next day shot us with pepper balls. She attacked us, attacked the crowd. And to add insult to injury, she also took the stand in people like Guy Reffitt's case and told lies, obviously, and used false information in order to convict men like Guy Reffitt and send him to prison for 7 to 8 years. So you lay a pipe bomb, you declare a riot, you attack us, you call us terrorists, you break down our homes, you break up our families, you cause us all sorts of financial and mental distress, and then you get on the stand, testify against us, and then get away scot-free? America, is this what we're going to allow to happen? I am calling on you, as am I. I'm going to be posting about it like crazy and calling about it. But let's call on our elected officials and our judges and our people in power, the sheriffs, our law enforcement, to do something about this. Because this is not right. That's my.
All righty, we're back. And this is why you got 30 new subpoenas. There's 30 no subpoenas. Remember the Dirty 30, those that are went into Mar-a-Lago and raided the president's place and was looking for evidence that they could, you know, get rid of so that it wouldn't come back upon them. Anyhow, there's going to be new subpoenas. They're all going to get subpoenaed, and there's more and more indictments coming down, which is very, very good, because see, it's not revenge, it's justice. We want justice. And so got a couple of things happening out there. Did you see what's been happening? Well, before I go in there, I got to give an announcement. And that is the Geauga County Right to Life is going to have its Christmas concert, and that's Sunday, December 7th, as usual, at the Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. Now, every year they host it, and for the Geauga County Right to Life. Hell, you know about Geauga County Right to Life. Everyone volunteers. They work very, very hard. Saved many, many babies. Our folks are still out there, even in this cold weather. They're on the streets saving babies. And, you know, we've over the years, we've been around since, well, since back in the 70s. And in that time, been volunteers. So many volunteers have come, and many have worked, and then, of course, some of them passed away. But anyhow, let me tell you, they work, they put in their time, they volunteer their time. They don't get any pay. They never got any pay for it. We never got a dime for all of this work. But here's all we're asking. We're asking for you folks out there to come and treat yourself to a concert. You get a blessing because Pastor Steve Sawchuk over there, he knows how to put on a concert. He really does. And it is always such a blessing. And we want you. I'm asking you folks out there in Northeast Ohio. I'm talking about Geauga, Portage Lake, Ashtabula, Cuyahoga counties. To say, look, it's not that far a drive for any of you to come out and support us. And I'm asking you not only to do that, but to bring somebody with you. And let me tell you this again, they deserve that. And remember, baby killing is America's national sin. It's America's national sin. So mark that down on the calendar, December 7th, the very first, I think that's the first Sunday in December, December 7th, at the Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland. And for more information, you can call the church at 440-729-6203. That's 440-729-6203. And so, again, do that. Would you do that for those folks that work so hard? Do that. I'm right now I'm the acting president again because our other president just moved out of state. And so, anyhow, just do it. Right, Al?
Right.
Okay. I know you'll be there.
Yeah, and, I've been there every year so far.
Yeah.
Last few years.
You think Styles should be there?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they could get him a sing.
All right.
I don't know if anyone wants to hear that.
Anyhow, I've got to tell you this. Turning point. Did you see what's happening there at Berkeley? They were very sneaky about it. They're pretending like they really were supporting the Turning Point, how, you know, and the freedom of speech, remember. But what they did is they put up the opposition right at the entrance where people that were going to come in for the event had to go by Antifa, the Communist Party. And the police just stood there until a fight broke out. And actually until a car was backfiring, sounded like gunfire, and people started running. And that's when the police got into it. But they kind of sat back and let Antifa attack conservatives and Christians. And basically they were more protecting Antifa than the thousands of people that showed up. And because of what they did, there were thousands of people that couldn't get in. Because what they did is, you know, the Berkeley said, well, you know, with this kind of a crowd, not like what they did with others. If it was a liberal speaker, they would do it totally different. To have tickets so we have an idea how many people are coming. Well, they did that because they knew they made tickets available for those on the left to buy up as many as they could so that the people that wanted to be there couldn't be there. And so, there you go. Now, but going back to what we just heard about that Shawnee Kirkhoff, the pipe bomber, here, what does she do? She gets promoted to the CIA. She needs to go to prison. Remember the people that were murdered. Remember Ashley Babbitt, who was murdered by a dirty cop. In fact, his name was Dirty Bird. That was his last name, Dirty Bird. He was murdered. And what did he do? The Democrats, the corrupt Democrats, promoted him and got him out of there because they didn't want him around to talk. And that's Nancy Pelosi. She's guilty. All of these people, and also Rosalind Boylan, she was beaten to death by two dirty cops, okay? Merrick Garland. These people all need to go to prison. They all need to go to prison, okay, for what they did. Also, the Democrats are now throwing... Did you see they're throwing Chuckie Schumer under the same bus that they threw? And who did it? Remember, Chuckie and Nancy Pelosi and Hillary and Bernie and Pocahontas? They all threw old Joe under the bus. And now they're starting to turn on each other. And over 80% of the Democrats are telling Chuckie it's time for him to go. Within the collective, you have, first of all, they're at war with God. Would you say, Hal, that the Democrats are at war with God?
No doubt about it. Their official statement is being in favor of everything that God hates and calls an abomination.
Then they're at war with Christians. That's pretty obvious.
Right.
But now they're at war with each other. And
that's good. You know, and I, Pastor, if I could interrupt for a second. Colossians, or Second Chronicles, I believe, chapter 20. Israel had its enemies come against it, and Israel was so outnumbered, they was really worried that they were going to get massacred. And the king of Jerusalem, he prayed and begged for God to intercede for them. And God said, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. I'll take care of it for you. And God had all Israel's enemies turn their swords on each other. I think it was the Ammonites and the Moabites and the children of Mount Seir and everything. They came against Israel, and they were as many as the sand of the sea. And God had them turn their swords on each other so that Israel didn't even have to get into the battle. They stood up on a mountain, and they sang praises to God while their enemies were slaughtering themselves down below. And,
that was,
and Pastor, I've been praying that God do that with the Democrat Party, with the people that, you know, are sold out to communism and Satanism. They're destroying children and murdering babies and all the stuff they're doing. And the ones that God knows will never repent. I just ask God that you let, you know, that God has them turn their swords on each other, you know, the Schumers and the Pelosi's and the, you know, the Soros and Obama's, you know, just, you know, that so, you know, that they won't hurt America anymore than they have already.
Well, here, he did the same thing, remember, with Habakkuk, in the book of Habakkuk. And here with the Babylonians, what happened when you had those different, when they came in, and they were fierce, and they would go in and well, he sent Habakkuk. Remember, he sent him out. He said, "Go all over the whole countryside and post it out. On this day, at this place, I, God, am going to destroy the Babylonians." And here, on that, what happened was, when he did that, now the Babylonians, they were known, or they were infamous for betrayal. They would go to King Smith and say, look, you know, do you want to join up with us in a confederacy and go with us, and we'll go and raid King Jones over here? Of course, Smith would be too afraid to say no, okay, because they were, the Babylonians were, you know, they were brutal, they were ruthless. So, of course, they would agree. And then what they would do is they would have their army set back. And as soon as Smith's army would move, would leave the village, leave his kingdom, they would move right in. And then they would betray him and take over his kingdom. And so what happened was, that's when he had Daniel go and post it throughout all the land, that on this day, at this time, at this place, I'm going to destroy them. And so the three big kings showed up, and they laughed, and they said, there's no God or no king that can, the God of the Jews of Israel cannot defeat us. Look at how many people we had. And here, I remember that you had... well, I want to just jump over there for a minute to Habakkuk when he said here, and I wanted to read that. It's just one little passage. Okay. Wouldn't you know it? I'm having a hard time finding it right now, what I was talking about. But what happened was, So all the kings that have been victimized by the Babylonians, it was the Chaldeans were the elite sect of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and they were especially wicked. I mean, very, very brutal. And in fact, let me just read it here. Behold, you among the heathen, in regard to wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, that shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and they're dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are swifter than the leopards, and they are fierce, more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come forth from far, and they shall fly as the eagle has hasted to eat. They shall come all for violence, and their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Anyhow, make a long story short. So here, as those kings gathered in the valley to fight against God, all of these nations that they had betrayed and that they had conquered gathered upon the mountains in a complete circle. And the kings up there all realized, look, there's our enemy down there below, and here we are. We're all here together, and we're more in number, and more in number, and we've got them surrounded. So God never lifted a finger. He just brought them out there, and they went and they destroyed the Babylonians. So that's a good story, isn't it?
Sure is.
Alrighty. Also, a couple things happening out there. Well, we were talking about this with the turning point thing. Here, over in England, they had same thing happen over there. They were having a memorial service, and the Antifa of England over there attacked them and shut it down. And so... we're seeing the hatred. By the way, hate is their new motto in the Democratic Communist Party. And we're seeing, for this reason, a number are trying to quickly get out of the Democratic Party. They're saying, no, you know, they're watching. In a sense, it's imploding upon itself. What do you think?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's where, you know, they call good evil and evil good. They're, over in England, that's where we got the King James Bible from. It started in England, and now they're letting the Muslims take over. They're allowed to pray all over the place, but they're making it against the law for Christians to pray.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. Anyhow, top Biden aide squirms as he admits to billions of dollars he stood to earn if Big Joe had won. This is one of those fellas. The House Oversight Committee released a video interview with top aide, Biden aide, essentially admitting he was incentivized to cover up Biden's cognitive decline because he was promised a massive payday for a 2024 White House win. The Oversight Committee, chaired by James Comer, opened an investigation into the Audepin scandal and subpoenaed several Biden aides for documents and testimony. And it's an interesting thing here because who was actually running the government? By the way, Biden admitted he didn't know how many people he pardoned or who they were. The company, the only ones he didn't for sure were his own family. The committee called on several Biden aides as part of an investigation into Joe Biden's cognitive decline. The Biden aide, top Biden aide, Mike Donilon, told the House Oversight Committee over the summer he was promised a $4 million bonus if Joe won. In other words, if he could keep it quiet, somehow keep it, the fact that Joe had lost it all, if we could keep that quiet for a while. And that Joe might have, with the help of the fake news media and the election fraud coming out of Venezuela, where they were, well, that clip we played yesterday explained all that. So it was previously reported that Donlan was paid $4 million salary for his 2024 election work, but an additional $4 million bonus was revealed during his testimony. So over the summer, Axios reported on Donlan's testimony where he admitted to the multi-million dollar bonus. Just to be clear, would be the amount of pay you received for your role in the campaign. Would you have changed depending on how far into the race President Biden made it? A congressional investigator asked Donlan. Donlan squirmed and took a long pause before he answered. In my view, the money was that it was a guaranteed with a campaign. We had a negotiation, and that's my memory of the agreement, he said. There you go. Sell out the country. We had nobody in charge there. Is that dangerous or is that dangerous?
That's definitely dangerous.
Yeah, unbelievable. The wealthiest country in the world with nobody at the helm. Well, we have someone there now. Praise the good Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Secret Service Chief. You know, I started talking some about this. You know, to me, it was very, very obvious when they tried to assassinate Trump in Pennsylvania that the Secret Service was involved. Every single thing that you could have possibly, that they could have possibly failed at, they did, right? It was very obvious. Now, Curran, the low-key former head of Trump's campaign Secret Service detail, found himself heading an agency that had been undermined by cronyism, nepotism, and even uneven discipline. In addition, the Biden regime's shift to DEI promotions added another layer of priorities and complicated the agency's missing critical work, according to interviews with more than a dozen current and former agents. Do you remember watching the films of that where those Secret Service agents, you had these two women that only come up to Trump's shoulders? They were supposed to be there to protect him. One of them couldn't get her gun back in the holster. Do you remember watching that?
Yeah. She reminded me of a female version of Bonnie Fife, only not as smart.
Yeah, well, their qualifications is that they were female. That was their qualifications for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last decade, the tensions produced by this change in culture, coupled with demanding travel schedule, many agents faced having led to an alarming exodus of mid-career and senior agents choosing to leave rather than stay until their 20-year retirement mark. Last fall, amid the fallout over the assassination attempts, the agency started offering $40,000 to $50,000 recruitment bonuses and retention bonus of up to 25% of an agent's or officer's salary to try to stem the tide, but the efforts had limited success. The same day, sources said. The pressing question now, 7 months after Curran took the helm, and whether he and his team are doing enough to transform the culture, jettison the DEI priorities as President Trump ordered, improve morale and retention, and return the Secret Service to its elite mission-focused status. Well, you know, here they had, we always looked upon the Secret Service as being beyond reproach. I mean, that was the one branch of government that, you know, you didn't ever expect, to find any mischief involved in. And here they even got to that. I mean, they got, just think about how that, our entire government had been corrupted. The FBI, they had weaponized it against it. And here the Secret Service was even in on the assassination of President Trump. And it was done in such a way.
If Americans knew how close to destruction this country had come under Biden and the Democratic Party, in this last election, they would not even have elected a Democrat for dog catcher.
Yeah. Biden did everything he could to destroy this country. Biden was America, the worst enemy of America. And anyhow, now listen, it could have been, we could have got Kamala. We could have had Kamala in there. Now Kamala said, by the way, Kamala says she is still the leader of the Democratic Party, that people shouldn't be asking, is there anyone in charge? Because she's in charge. She's the leader, okay? Kamala Harris says that she was playing three-dimensional chess during a humiliating campaign against Trump in a hilariously cringe interview. Three-dimensional chess, I'm telling you, you know. So she's talking about, with all odds against her. Now listen, Trump won all seven swing states and the popular vote in the landslide victory over Kamala Harris. I don't know how she sees it, but she said it was one of the closest elections ever in the history of America. I don't know. when you've lost just, you know, well, anyhow. But she cackled away like a mad woman, claiming, I understood the game that was being played, and I made a decision that I wasn't going to get played. When one of the hosts suggested she was playing chess, not checkers, Kamala agreed that it was three-dimensional chess, a game that she clearly lost. Harris made the comments in an interview on the Storehouse and Friends podcast that aired last Monday to discuss her 107 days of memoir and failed bid for the White House. I was aware of my opponent's strategy and wasn't about to fall prey into fall into those traps, she said. As a part of his strategy and those around him was to try and take me off our game. Wait a minute. To try and take me off our game and our message. That message was something. I mean, and I wasn't about to be distracted by those little, well, those flames that we were trying to throw, that he was trying to throw at me. She laughed and claimed that her highest priority was the economy and America's financial well-being. I thought it was yellow school buses. She kept saying how much she liked those yellow school buses. But, go ahead.
She wondered if they walked away from a loony bin or something and decided to become Democrat politicians.
I had probably maybe never seen anyone, I don't know, less prepared to run for president, unless it was maybe her running mate, Tampon Tim.
Well, we don't even need to be attacked by China or Russia. All that's needed is for these Democrats to get back in power again, and this country's had it. I mean, you know, our enemies could just sit back and laugh at what goes on after that.
I hear you. President Donald Trump, we're coming up to a break. Now, when we come back for the break, I'm going to play a clip. And this is what you're not going to hear on NBC, if I can get it up to play. We really should have prayed for, the program tonight, because it seems like when we put out certain information out there, we always come under some attack by the enemy. But anyhow, when we come back from the break, I'm going to play this. Hopefully it'll go out over the airwaves the way it should. It's about a 15-minute clip. Be right back. Don't go away. We have a lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry,
head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.